views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I am your host, David Pruse. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday is my day of politics, so my guests will be based around that. Wednesdays, my guest is an interesting Fairbanksan, pioneer, local legend, maybe even a nefarious character. Friday is all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, this universe to Fairbanks. Give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. I'll try to get your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop, so please be patient, but I will get to them. You can reach us at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And with that, I wanted to say that intro for about the last 6 weeks, so it's good being back, on the air. First of all, I want to thank Michael Dukes for just stepping in, stepping up, and doing the show. Life has been a lot different for all of us in the last 6 weeks, and for the first part of the show, it's just going to be me, so let's discuss that. If you have a phone call, come on, give me a call at 458-TALK, 458-8255, and discuss how this coronavirus has affected you. Well, my business is going well. My life is going well. My health is well. I've used it as an opportunity to get better in many ways. That first week was pretty silent around our city here. That's for sure. You'd look, you know, the first week I did not go to the office. I did not, you know, I self-contained at home, and my office is only 6-8 blocks from my house, so it's not a large jaunt at all. But it was interesting, the first week, the minimal traffic, people, interface you would see. My goal on doing this was, when we come out of this, be a better person in many ways. Better health, better business, get some things done I've always wanted to do. And so what I did was I wrote a schedule with goals, and I put it right in my dining room. And my schedule was every morning, no matter what, I'm up at 7 o'clock. No matter what, at 9 o'clock, I am showered, shaved, and I'm on the phone conducting business, doing those things that I do. And so I just did not want to say, okay, what am I going to do today? I'm not that type of person. And so I gave myself a schedule. And for the first 2 weeks, boy, you know, I was getting, working on projects that, well, you know, you wanted to do for a long time. And then all of a sudden business started getting in the way of those projects. or this, those things that I do. And it's been it's been an interesting road, that's for sure. A lot of things have happened. My goodness. When the stirs first started happening every day, you know, in the month of, I would say, starting about March 1, it changed. Every day was a drastic change. And you could see this, the wave building up. And boom, it hits. The governor shut down the state as much as he could. Asked everyone to self-quarantine. But at the same time, most people just did that anyway. We've been very fortunate here. We've had a pretty open business. You know, most stores are open. I feel so sorry for the restaurants and for the tourism industry. What's happened to those people and those industries have just been devastated. Many businesses, many people, many working families, many issues have happened. And, you know, you never thought you would see something like this, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of it. And to those people who've lost their jobs, their businesses, you know, this is not over yet. The panner season has been canceled. Their golden days, that's probably canceled. They're looking at canceling just about everything that was scheduled for the summer that makes Fairbanks so neat and so fun. But guess what? We're Fairbanksons. We persevere. We get through it. We're going to have a good time. We're going to live through this. And that's the most important thing. We're going to live through this. We're going to survive it. We're going to get through it. And we're just going to continue being Fairbanks because we get to be Fairbanks. No one else does. So that's just how it is. And just looking at the state of Alaska, I believe our governor did a great job so far. And he started opening up the state before anyone else has. Now, every time I hear the radio, more states are starting to open up. You know, hey, Governor Dunleavy, congratulations. Thank you. He will be on the air with me tomorrow from 11:05 to about 11:20. So I got one of my first guests as the governor. The second half of this show, I'm going to have Assemblyman Aaron Lajewski, and we're going to talk about the budget they're looking at ratifying, I believe, Thursday night, or starting to go through their process anyway. And so the governor did a great job. The legislature, you know, I just sort of shake my head and can't give you any kudos, legislature. You had an opportunity. There's this thing called a dividend. There's a great big fight over it. Some people say the dividend should be a full dividend. Some people say, no, it should not. I'm sort of in a camp where the dividend was, the permanent fund corporation was always there as a rainy day account. And then the dividend was an afterthought. If when it's raining cats and dogs, the permanent fund is supposed to take care of state spending, state budgets. However, when you have a national pandemic, and if there was ever time to expend more of a dividend, to give everyone more income, to help Fairbanks with a dividend and get it out early, this is the time. The dividend was designed as a fall income stimulus into the economy because that's when all the seasonal jobs shut down. So it would bring everyone through the winter. I had Sterling Gallagher, who was with the he was the commissioner of revenue and designed the Alaska Permanent Fund and the dividend. And that's why he has it in October. If there was ever a time in our state history to do something special with the dividend program for residents of the state of Alaska, this would be that time. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, it's a national calamity, pandemic, and our tourism industry is shut down. Hotels shut down. How many are going to go back to the bank? If there was ever a time to help the citizens of the state of Alaska with the expense of giving out a dividend, now would have been the time to do it. They had the chance. They had the opportunity. They failed. Simple as that. David, how do you really feel? No, tell me what you really think. Anyway, so we've had great people step up and rise to the occasion. And we have had those who did not with the opportunity. I don't look at the legislature as a whole. I look at the legislative leaders. The person who is chairman of Senate Finance, who basically extorted the legislature with his budget, saying if you don't vote for this, I have a poison pill in here, and your $1,000 dividend goes to $500. Oh, and we won't release the pandemic money. And that's what he did. Bert Stedman, Senate Finance. Kathy Giesel, Senate President, you allowed it. The head of the House leadership, You allowed it. Senate leadership, you allowed it. You had the opportunity. You failed. It is what it is. And I'll call it what it is. Anyway, we'll be back after these messages. We're at KFAR, 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, live stream at KFARradio.com, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Bridgestone Spring Savings are on now at GCR. Receive rebates up to $100 when you buy any set of four eligible Bridgestone tires. Choose great selections of all-season, all-terrain tires for your light truck or SUV and performance models for your car. Mail in your form. Bridgestone mails you your Visa prepaid card up to $100. Learn more from your reliable GCR Tires and Service Sales Associate. Don't wait. Rebates end May 4th. GCR, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
Hello, Fairbanks. This is David Prus, and soon our self-quarantine will be over. Then what? Have you thought about a career change into real estate? Have you thought about being your own boss, owning your own business, earning your rewards equal to your efforts? Here's your opportunity. My next class is scheduled for the middle of May. Your course is over two weekends and is also accredited with the University of Alaska. If you have thought about being your own boss in real estate, call me, David Prus, at 479-7000. That's 479-7000 to start a fulfilling career.
Your favorite Italian restaurant, Giraldo's, is now open for dine-in by reservation for lunch or dinner. Monday through Sunday, call 452-2299 to book. But you still can enjoy Giraldo's with free delivery and takeout service, but now you can enjoy dine-in service with limited seating. Just call 452-2299 and reserve your table today. Enjoy all your favorites you've come to love with takeout, delivery, and now dine-in by reservation only. Check out their full menu on Facebook. Make it Giraldo's today. It's always a phone call away.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Your forecast today calling for a slight chance of rain, mostly cloudy skies and highs near 53 degrees. Mostly cloudy with isolated showers this evening and lows around 33 degrees. And tomorrow for Tuesday, calling for isolated showers in the afternoon, partly sunny, highs near 59, lows around 36. By the middle of the week, it should be partly sunny with highs near 60, lows around 36. And Thursday, mostly sunny, getting even warmer with a high near 65.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prus in the studio here. And first day back, enjoying myself. Good to see some of the people down here. It's a thin group of people down here. They're starting to bring people in back in stages as the business here reopens, as it is throughout the state of Alaska and Fairbanks. They're doing in stages. They're being careful. You wipe down everything when you get here. You wipe down everything when you leave. And be very careful. And it's good to see. City of Fairbanks, the city facilities, the borough facilities are still closed. I saw that North Pole City Hall will be opening up. I do not know what exact day or the details of that. All services through the city of Fairbanks are still good. The police, fire, building department, engineering department still operating. The city clerk's office is doing an impeccable and remarkable job. The clerk's offices in a government are basically the face and the interface with the citizens. And we have at the city of Fairbanks, I've observed them the 5.5 years I've been on city council. Exceptional people, great personalities, so nice. They're very good to work with, and kudos to them. Kudos to Danny, Emily, and Diana down at the city. There's always someone there. They do a great job, and they make sure that we're on task. Our meetings are via phone, and that gets interesting. We've not done any executive sessions. We've not done any work sessions, and That's good news. The bad news is phone systems aren't the best, and it gets interesting. So, hey, we're going to take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yesterday, I went to the post office and got the $1,200 economic impact payment, the stimulus thing. I plan to send it back, though. But I successfully was able to stop the federal government from sticking that $1,200 into my checking account, my Wells Fargo checking account, because a few weeks back I closed my account for that very reason.
Wow.
That their only choice was to send me a check. And then I started up another checking account in another bank, but I don't want to tell the federal government about it. I don't want to get in the habit of having them send my income tax refund checks directly deposited. From now on, I'm just going to have stuff mailed to me. Because anyway, I'm going to take this $1,200 check and mail it back to the federal government. It's very inappropriate to send it to me because I have a job.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that people that have been thrown out of work should be helped, you know, through the unemployment insurance, which is kicking into gear as we speak. And what I'm doing. You know, we have a $23 trillion national debt. Can't afford to be throwing money around casually like that. You know, that's bad. Now, as far as what you brought up a little bit ago about the state of Alaska and how they did some maneuvers in the legislature to try to stop excessive permanent fund dividend payments, you know, PFD payments, by saying that they were going to withhold some coronavirus payments, at least temporarily, and also have the PFD only $500. That maneuver worked. It allowed everyone to get on board with the budget. You know, we just can't afford to send
what I didn't like about it was they held hostage, extorted the minority of the legislature. They said, when they said, if we don't have your vote where we can go into the capital budget reserve, if we don't have your vote, then this is what happens. And they took the dividend and they said it goes from $1,000 to $500. And they said, we will not put out the coronavirus money funding, the $30 million to help institutional hospitals and things like that. They purposely, with manipulation, went out to force a vote by using health as a weapon. That's what they did.
Yeah, I think it was good what they did because it gave the people cover, you know, those that brag about how they're going to send out free money that we don't have. It gave them cover so they can go back and tell their constituents. They can say, well, we had to vote for this budget as was. Otherwise, the PFD would have only been $500 and they were going to delay this $7 billion.
Yes, our legislators can do that. But it was, I believe, Stedman from Sitka, who was one who instituted as co-chair Finance Senate.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I approve of it because it got the job done. I disapprove of the tactic.
You do not use that as a basis to get your way.
Well, then we would have been all messed up had they...
What would have happened if they would have done it right? They would have had to negotiate with the minority. They didn't want to negotiate with the minority. They wanted their budget, and they got their budget through an extorted tactic. That's how they did it.
And what the minority wanted, they wanted to be pirates and buy votes for November's election by shipping out more money, increasing our deficit. Just, we can't afford to send out a PFD this spring.
You know, I don't know how big of a dividend they wanted. No one does because they didn't get to negotiate. They didn't get that option.
We don't have the money.
And you're right in that economic aspect. You're absolutely right. But I think the tactic that they used was so obscene.
Yeah.
You know, economically speaking, my thought is if there's a year where you're going to send out a bigger dividend for people, this is that year. I don't need it. I did not get, I did not apply for the federal one. Don't need it. I'm not that way. Other people do. If there was a time in our life, in our history, this would have been that one. And they used the calamity as an extortion tactic.
Yeah, however, had the minority not gone along with it, you know, I'm sure that the 70 million, they would have gone on recess, but they would have come back, and the 70 million for coronavirus, nobody would have been left without medical treatment, you know.
Yeah.
No one would have been hurt by that, but
yeah,
they just did a little maneuver there. And as far as, I didn't apply for this $1,200 either, I didn't want it, you know, but they, you know, they sent it to people that earn, I don't earn very much money, I earn $45,000.
Yeah, I was above that threshold, so
oh,
it was not a worry. It was not a worry for me, to tell you the truth. Yeah.
I wish I was above that threshold too, but I'm not.
Yeah, a good friend of mine, he got like a $240 check, you know, he retired this year, and you know, so, and his income's down, but they used the 2019 income, and he's going, oh man, you know, if they would have been this year, I would have gotten the whole thing, but since it was based on my pre-retirement income, he got, you know, about $230, $240, so a little bit, you know, you know, it's just, no matter what happens, this has to be paid back one way or another.
You're right. That's so true.
Yeah. So
kids, grandkids have to pay that back. It's just immoral. I couldn't morally sleep at night, you know, taking this money. I mean, I want people that have been thrown out of work to get money. I want them to be helped, not
exactly.
Not me,
you know? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, how you been doing through this, Randy?
Well, it hadn't really affected me, except I'm getting pretty shaggy. The barber, the lady barber I go to usually just opened up yesterday.
Randy, come to the dark side. Be like me. Shave your head.
Anyway, I was on their wait list all day long trying to get in, you know, but I didn't make it. You know, they had a whole bunch of people trying to get in. I don't know if they just had one barber lady cutting or what was going on there, but they tried to do as good as they could, but I'll have to try it again another time.
Well, there you go. There you go, buddy. Yeah. Well, hey, thank you for the phone call. Thank you for the welcome back. And you're a good caller, and I'll talk to you more. Okay, buddy?
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Yeah, and interesting. The items that are happening in Fairbanks because of the virus, and, you know, we're starting to come the other way now. We're starting to open up businesses. So it's going to be real interesting how they more and more open them up. And, you know, I bank at Mount McKinley, great bank, great institution, but it's only drive-through teller there. Or you can go up to the second floor for your loans and things like that. Great bank. But when are they going to open up the interior? When will the governor say, okay, when's phase two start? And the governor will be on the air with me tomorrow, and we're going to be discussing that. And kudos to the governor for what he's done. You know, he jumped in fast. We've had very small cases. We spiked fast, dropped off real fast. We've had maybe one case in the interior in the last 2-3 weeks. And guess what? It saved lives. It saved people. And I looked at my philosophy through this was, if I catch it, I catch it. I'm going to live. I'm that obstinate type person. I'm going to get through it. But in no way do I want to be the person who gives it to another person. I do not want to infect anyone. That would be hard for me if I caused pain, suffering, or gave it to someone who then passed. How do you forgive yourself for that? So I've been very careful. When I go into a store, I have a mask on, but I also have gloves on. I have, you know, a cook, so I have the gloves on, and I do that. And so very careful, very careful. That way, if I don't get it, I can't give it. And that's how I like it. So anyway, Fairbanks, we are going to take a small break here for some bumper music. Genesis, Land of Confusion. I did not choose this. It was chosen for me. And then we're going to have some Fox News, some commercials, some state news, some weather, and we'll be back after that.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The World Health Organization questioning the Trump administration's belief that the coronavirus may have originated in a Chinese lab.
President Trump is accusing the Chinese government of concealing the severity of coronavirus and allowing the disease to spread. The intelligence community has assessed the virus was not man-made, but is looking into the possibility it escaped accidentally.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland, the virus blamed for nearly 70,000 deaths in the U.S. Court is now in session remotely.
Oh, yay. Oh, yay. Oh, yay.
For the first time in the history of the Supreme Court, justices heard arguments on a teleconference. The nine justices and the attorneys arguing all spread out. The court building remains mostly closed during the coronavirus pandemic. Additional arguments by phone are scheduled over the next 2 weeks.
Fox's Jared Halpern in Washington. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Federal lawmakers have been urged by tribes and local conservation groups to address transboundary mining, which some consider a threat to Southeast Alaska. Transboundary mining is when runoff from a mine in one country pollutes water that eventually flows into another country. The Juneau Empire reported that the dams in Canada holding back toxic wastewater from the mining process have failed before in 2014 and spilled into nearby waterways in British Columbia. Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commissioner Director Tiz Peterman says the problem is because of lax environmental regulation in Canada. Alaska's northernmost city of Utqiagvik saw temperatures reach 20 degrees below zero last week, a record low for April 29th in over a decade. Climatologist Rick Thaman says this record was the latest low recorded in the season. Utqiagvik has not only set record low temperatures, but also set or tied more than 100 record high temperatures as well, most recently in March. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has predicted a higher chance of warmer than normal temperatures for Utqiagvik during the month of May.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
You never were much of a follower. The closest you've ever come to that is following your own dreams, bagging that big bull, reeling in that prize salmon. It's why you live in Alaska. You chase the mountains, the tundra, the rivers, the lakes, to be somewhere you've never been before, never seen before. You live in Alaska. But finding your Alaska is a journey that'll always take you beyond your next campsite. Find it with Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Longer days and warmer temperatures. It's not surprising that Alaskans are really looking forward to outdoor summer activities. On the water, in your boat, personal watercraft, hitting the trails on your bike or ATV. Alaska offers something for everyone. Accidents sometimes happen. If you have been injured, the attorneys at Berglund & Doxy are here to discuss your options for fair injury compensation. Contact Berglund & Doxy for a free consultation by calling them at 456-4020. You can also contact them online at berglund.com. Consultations by telephone and video conference are available.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. Fairbanks, David Prue's on the air here, and going to see if I can get Mr. Lajewski here. Good morning, Aaron. Are you there?
Hey, David.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay.
Well, cool. You guys have, you've been active, your assembly body, and going through your borough budget. How's that looking? Hello, Aaron?
Yes. Are we on the air? Or is
yes, we're on the air. We are on the air. We are live at 5, my friend.
All right. So, well.
So don't hold back.
The budget process, I guess in some ways it's the same as it's always been, but in other ways, obviously, it's very different. We've been conducting our meetings on Zoom in order, because it's difficult to, it's much more time consuming to do amendments on the fly through Zoom versus in person. It really is. We, for the most part, all aggregated our amendments into a giant list, and I've got that PDF open right now because I didn't take notes on everything that happened and all the amendments that passed and failed. But if I got a list of all of them, I can at least remember the big ones for you and let you know that happened. So we had a kind of status quo budget that was proposed by the mayor. And of course, status quo meaning it was created before the impacts of coronavirus were even remotely fathomed.
True, true, yeah.
And so we took that kind of stock budget, and he came up with a bunch of, I would say, the most significant amendments he's ever offered to a stock budget, because normally the position, this was true under Castle as well, they come out with a budget, and if you try to amend it, they usually say, no, we put in the right number, you shouldn't do that. And so you have like the burden of proof as to why the administration is wrong. Usually that's tough when they have a bunch of full-time staff to back up their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So this time around, the administration came up with a bunch of amendments, some of which I agreed with, some I didn't. But at any rate, the bottom line is we have a, I would describe it mostly as a fairly status quo spending package. And then the way they're, as you can imagine, revenue is going to drop. And the way they're filling that in is they are, they're spending the Corvius settlement money.
The $7 million, yeah.
They're spending that. And they did make a few cuts here and there that add up. I don't know what the final number is. It might add up to $1 million, maybe $2 million, something like that, compared to the status quo budget. I'm not comparing this to last year's budget. But the big thing that kind of irritates me is that they are basically raiding the FMR. For folks who listen every day, which isn't me, you might start to recall in your mind with my voice, last time I was on with two other assembly members, and we were proposing an amendment that would basically mandate the first draft of the budget that a certain amount of money would need to go into the FMR.
Yep.
And we ended up, that passed, by the way.
Yep.
The mayor fought it tooth and nail, but it still passed. We got it through. 5-4, it barely squeaked through. And at any rate, that came up with a contribution level of about $11 million to make sure our buildings don't fall down, basically, as one is too dangerous for us to go into, or has been anyway, at Pioneer Park. And at any rate, the mayor said, well, let's take $2 million away from us, take it to 9. And that held. I fought that tooth and nail, but I only got 4 votes. What I was arguing for in the finance, by the way, the budget's not done. This is when I'm saying things happened.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in our finance committee, and that's the finance committee's recommendation to the overall assembly. And the actual budget document is going to be considered this Thursday.
Okay.
So there's still an opportunity to change it one more time. At any rate, it's 9, but what I argued for is I asked staff to calculate what the formula that the 9% formula would have created based off of the revised revenue estimates. And I forget what that came out to. Maybe it was like 10.4 million instead of 11. So I made an amendment to bring it down to 10.4, and they defeated it in favor of taking it down to 9. So,
good for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's an issue of short term. I think I framed it this as an issue of short-term pleasure versus long-term planning. So I was arguing for long-term sound planning over doing what's easy in the short run. So they, to my discouragement,
So listen to this analogy. So basically, your assembly is like the legislature with the dividend. We have a statute that requires us to do this, but since we're appropriating, we're just going to appropriate what we want.
Sort of, but not with that particular issue, because that's just a requirement for the first draft of the mayor. So the assembly is actually not bound by that at all. They could move it up to 20 million or take it down to zero, whatever.
Exactly.
Actually, ironically, the mayor did something that actually took, I would say, some courage, and he advised the mayor or the assembly. He said, "Hey, we're in a tough enough time that we shouldn't be giving our staff raises. They should just keep the same pay for next year."
Yeah,
and they get raises in two different forms. They get what's called a step increase. It's technically merit, but no one ever really fails the merit test. So it's basically automatic. And it means, like, you know, after you work there for every 2 or 3 years, you hit a new step and you just get a raise.
So basically they get a participation trophy. That's a raise.
It's basically a longevity raise. Yeah.
Okay.
And then on top of that, like, you would have to be absolutely atrocious to fail your merit-based raise. So technically it's merit.
Okay.
But I think at worst, like, one employee fails a year or something, I'd have to go contact the HR director and get the numbers. It's very, very minimal with, you know, 300 staff, right?
Yeah.
And then there's another raise, which is the COLA raise, or the cost of living, which is meant to increase with inflation. And so the mayor said, let's just forego those for this year. But in order to do that, the reason why I bring this up is, one, it was one of the more major things that happened. But you would be sort of breaking the borough or the labor agreement, because it's in there, like in the agreement, that we're going to do that. Now, it is technically subject to appropriation by the assembly. So that's why technically, legally, it's not breaking the agreement, but you're still kind of breaking the spirit of the agreement, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If they're not funded. But nonetheless, the assembly said, okay, we won't do the step increases. I said, let's support the mayor. Let's hold off on the COLA increases as well. But they said, no, we still want to do the COLA increases. And kind of I'm in a situation where my business went from record-breaking to zero practically overnight. Like, I don't have any money. I mean, I have savings and stuff, but I don't have any income.
You have no revenue coming in. No revenue you have no revenue generation right now.
Now, the good news is I think long-term, like I do for the assembly, and I have a good emergency fund, and I'm pretty confident I can wait this out and bring the business back. So it's not like it's dead. It's more like it's in hibernation.
Yeah.
And it's going to come back. But nonetheless, from my perspective, as someone who basically doesn't have a job anymore because of, you know, the visitor industry, I'm in the visitor industry, guys, for anyone who's listening who didn't know. Anyone who's running tours or anything, it's like, boom, it's dead.
Yep.
And then, of course, hotels, I'm sure they're not 100% dead, but they're probably like, I don't know the actual numbers if they're down 90% or what.
What you're saying is everyone's keeping their jobs.
Right. And so to me, if I were able to keep my job and not make any more money, but not make any less, just nominally, we're not talking about inflation here, I would be absolutely thrilled. I would be so grateful. And
at our last city council meeting, under council member comments, I brought up the fact no one in the city has lost their job. Not one person. And that we have, we're going to have now a budget deficit of $1 to $3 million that we're going to have to figure out. But no one lost their job.
And I don't think that people should really get fired in these situations. Yeah. The easiest thing to do is just do a hiring freeze.
Yeah, you're right.
But at any rate, that's kind of what I recollect as far as big picture. And I assume we have some people who are going to call in and tell us how bad it is. They're going to have there's going to be a lot of truth in what they say.
Yeah, there is, yeah. Oh, so you have your budget final reading this Thursday?
It'll be up for consideration, I think there's actually a segment specifically for it for public comment. So I don't think you have to come in early and testify in the things that are not scheduled for public hearing section. I'm just checking right now. Yeah, it's its own ordinance, so you can testify under that item directly. So that would be after 7 o'clock.
Okay. What's the overall amount of the budget?
The overall amount?
Yeah.
I was looking through here. I actually don't have that number with you right now.
Okay.
It's going to be similar to what it was last year.
What, 35 million?
It's similar. There's one other major thing that happened. So there's no step increases. Mm-hmm. The mayor asked for a $2 million reduction to the school district. And the assembly approved a $1 million reduction to the school district.
You read my mind. How much is the school district's budget? That's what I was going to ask you next.
I don't actually recall what their actual budget is, but they were getting $50 million for the last couple of years from us, and so they're getting about $49 million this year.
Okay.
But they're going to be fine because they have so much savings.
The cash hoarders, yeah.
Well, they definitely have plenty of money for the next year, maybe 2 years. We'll see what happens after that.
I'm looking at the school district right now, and I'm looking at the state of Alaska education system. I'm saying to myself, this sort of opened up everyone's eyes to a different type of educational system, at homeschooling businesses and services. And the issues that our schools bring up on a social basis that a lot of parents don't like, they're probably looking and saying, I get a really good education for my kids going through an online program. Why do I want to subject my family to the auspices of what a school district might implement on them? So if I was on a school board right now, I'd be very careful on those things on a social basis that I try to input into the school.
Yep.
Hey, we're going to take a break. Can you hold off for us? And we got a call coming in for you. We'll take the call right now. How's that? You ready?
Yeah, let's do that.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Aaron Lajewski, and your name is? Okay.
Oh, this is Steve. Do you have you've got a specific topic you're talking about, huh?
Well, I've got Aaron with the Borough Assembly. If you have a question for Aaron with the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly, or that'd be good.
No, he can't answer this question.
What's your question?
Well, throughout the winter, I pick up a radio station from way up north, and they claim they're in Barrow, and they've never mentioned Barrow being called anything but Barrow. So my question is, if that radio station calls Barrow Barrow, why don't the radio stations in Fairbanks call it Barrow?
Well, you know, I don't can't answer you that one. Simple as that.
Yeah.
I don't even really know how to pronounce the new name that they call the town of Barrow. So
who knows if the way they're pronouncing it is even right?
I do not know that. So okay, thank you very much. You have a great
day.
Thank you. Yep. Okay, Aaron, we're gonna take a commercial break, and we'll get back to you when we get back. Okay.
That sounds good.
Okay, Fairbanks, we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
1 in 4 people will have heartburn this week. 1 in 6 suffer from irritable bowel. Thousands more suffer from diseases caused by gut dysfunction and poor digestion. The good news is relief is here. I'm Dr. Scott Looper. My colleagues and I are experts in the effective treatment of gastrointestinal diseases. We are waiting to see you at White Spruce Medical. Call us to make an appointment. Located in the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks. Treating the core, living the cure. White Spruce Medical.
There's something special about Napa Auto Care Centers. They're backed by the national strength of Napa. Nationwide warranties honored by thousands of locations. You know, that's Napa know-how. But more importantly, your Napa Auto Care Center is independently owned and operated by neighborhood professionals who operate by a written code of ethics. Put your vehicle in the hands of ASE certified technicians who will greet you with a smile you can trust. Visit us today at
Expressway Automotive in North Pole, off the Richardson Highway.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway, your steel outdoor power equipment dealer for Interior Alaska. See the full line of steel products at The Woodway today. The Alaskan way, the right way, The Woodway.
KFAR Weather.
Your forecast today calling for a slight chance of rain, mostly cloudy skies and highs near 53 degrees. Mostly cloudy with isolated showers this evening and lows around 33 degrees. And tomorrow for Tuesday, calling for isolated showers in the afternoon, partly sunny, highs near 59, lows around 36. By the middle of the week, it should be partly sunny with highs near 60, lows around 36. And Thursday, mostly sunny, getting even warmer with a high near 65.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio, and Assembly Member Aaron Lajewski on the phone with me. How you doing there, sir?
I'm still here.
Good. You know, from the bird's eye view that I have, first of all, it's great that the Borough Assembly actually has a budgetary implement for putting funds in a reserve to start dealing with your deferred maintenance. Good job there. Kudos. Great to see. You know, and like you're saying, they're knocking it down to 9. It should be 10.5 to 11, but they're knocking it down to 9. That's sad, but still it's good that, Aaron, you got it in there. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, I thought about it quite a bit. I mean, if we would have had the 7% that was there before, which was a victory just to get that, it could have been that $2 million was taken away from the 7%, so it would have been even lower. So, and the formula is still there for next year. But I am so concerned that now that they've said, hey, in a tough time, you can raid the FMR.
That's where they're going to go back to.
Accelerate, and it set a precedent. And they're going to, like, the general fund is where you're supposed to go. That is the rainy day savings account for when you have problems. You should always go there first. But instead, what the Assembly chose to do was keep the general fund fully funded and attack the FMR instead.
Ready for a phone call?
Next year, yep.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Assemblyman Aaron Lajewski, and your name is?
My name's Alan.
Hello, Alan.
Hey, and my question to Aaron is how does the assembly justify hiring three new positions for code enforcement at the transfer site?
I have not justified that myself. I voted against it. So how did the assembly at large do that? I could speculate, and I think there's going to be a lot of truth, although it won't be perfect, right? Because every single person has a different opinion.
Did that come from the assembly or from the mayor?
I believe the mayor pushed it forward, but the assembly approved it.
What was the mayor's reasoning to want to do something like this?
Well, and to tell the truth, I don't know that it was so much the mayor who originated the idea. I believe it actually was the solid waste collection district management that decided to go forward.
Well, Aaron, first of all, you never have inmates running the asylum. If it comes from the administration, it's through the mayor's office. He signs off on it. It's on him.
Yes, yeah. It is. It was his decision. I believe he was persuaded by staff. And so I can tell you what they've seen. For years, as everyone probably knows, there's been problems festering at the, in particular, the transfer sites. Just mm-hmm. being trashed up and sometimes a dumpster even being stolen or graffiti, mystery liquids being dumped, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's when the, I'm forgetting the term for this, the attendants came about. I'm sure as everybody remembers who uses them. And by the way, that's not the only issue. And ironically, this is actually a delicate topic, but I live outside of the borough. Mm-hmm. And I'll use this example for
you. You live outside the borough or outside the city?
Sorry, I live outside the city.
Okay.
I meant to say, but in the borough. So I do not pay for Fairbanks, City of Fairbanks, trash pickup.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to come up to the front of your house and drop a trash can before trash day every week and let your city folks take care of my trash, that wouldn't be right because I'm not paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be basically stealing your trash service.
You know, that's a good point. I agree with that point.
So the way the transfer sites are set up is that there's a special taxing area, which is for the people outside of the city of Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a special mill rate added on to their normal taxes to pay for those transfer sites. But the people in Fairbanks do not pay for that. So mm-hmm. if city of Fairbanks residents drive out and use the transfer sites, they're effectively stealing trash service. They're using a service that they're not supposed to use and that they're not paying for. So part of the justification for these is that the logic is that somehow having two people roaming around is going to stop City of Fairbanks trash from going in and therefore save the collection district way more money than it costs to pay these people's salaries. So, I don't think that's going to pencil out, but that is part of the argument for them.
Are they going to ID people? Can I see your ID, look up where you live, and yada, yada, yada?
I don't remember. Some of those questions were asked during the meeting. I think the answer was no, but I don't remember all the details.
So someone like me, you know, when I use the dumpster services at the borough, but guess what? I own properties outside the city limits.
Well, see, that's a good question. Yeah. Then do you qualify or do you not?
Try and stop me from taking my stuff from one of my properties in the borough. You don't be the person who comes up to me. Do not be that person.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're gonna
hear statements from me that would make you feel dumb.
But I was bringing this up as a sensitive topic because we got plenty of emails from people who live in the city, and they were basically calling us names, saying, "How dare you tell us we can't use the transfer sites? We pay taxes for them." But
no,
the
they
fact
don't.
Of the matter is, they don't pay taxes for them, and there's just
there. But then you know, this is I stay away from this. My thought is, hey, you know, I would have voted against this like you because we're all in a community together. Let's not separate it like that because, you know, the city residents, they pay for road services for people to use it. The borough pays for road services for people not driving on that road to use it. The people in Fairbanks pay for police and ambulance services for people that commute into the city. And, you know, so there's so much cross budget use for the residents all in the Fairbanks North Star borough. And what this is trying to do is what I disagree with it about is it's trying to define it. Well, you're not a resident of the borough. You're a resident of the city. And I just disagree with that.
That's
well,
my,
a lot
own,
of people
that's
don't
my
know,
thought. Yeah.
The lines aren't clearly delineated.
Yeah. Yeah. Ready for another phone call?
Yeah.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Lee.
Hello, Lee.
Hey, Dave, those properties that you're talking about that you own outside the city, are those rental properties?
Yep. Oh, and vacant land.
But the fact that you own land, does that entitle you? The rental properties aren't. Do you get to use the borough landfill?
For those properties, yeah. Yeah, they're not in the city limits.
Right.
You know, when I go pick up trash on the land or, you know, things like that, or go clean up after a resident, sure, or whatever, hey, you know.
Oh, that's a good clarification point. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Keep smiling.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Good talking to you, Lee. So it's just going to get, you know, I would feel sorry for the people who have, Aaron, this is, I'm talking to you. I would feel sorry for the people who work for the borough and go up and start questioning people at these sites, these dumpster sites, whatever you want to call them, refuse sites. Because Fairbanksons just don't, in the borough or the city, you know, don't come up to me when I'm throwing stuff away. Really? Now,
yeah, I don't try to talk to people. Yeah. I just get my business get out.
But you know, one thing about it is you know, putting material in there that you should not be putting in there, like substances that are pollutants and contaminants, you know, things like that.
There are some. I'm not an expert, but if you had like used motor oil, there's like a little hazardous,
and paints
you put it in
and,
there
and you know, paints and fluids, you know, things like that.
One of the biggest things is if you got an old car, if I'm not mistaken, I think each resident can take an old car to the actual dump itself, not the transfer site, the actual landfill, the dump.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll take one car, I believe, for free per year per resident or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's the correct place. And they have had problems with people just dumping off old, you know, junker cars.
Yeah.
At transfer sites. And then the borough pays someone, you know, $1,000 or whatever it is. I'd have to go look at the contract to go haul that off to the landfill. So that's just causing pure cost to the transfer or to the solid waste collection district when that's done. So if I had one, that's my one positive thing to say or advice to folks is to take your old junker cars directly to the dump when they're open.
I'm going to ask you the bottom line question. When this budget with all the amendments are done, are you going to vote it up or down?
I was pretty well convinced I was going to vote no as soon as they start taking money out of the FMR.
Okay. Yeah.
And so here's the real big problem. I don't think we've got much time left.
We got about 2 minutes.
We had $7 million payment from Corvius, which went to build up our general fund savings account. That's a $7 million infusion of cash that's all being spent to balance this budget. That's not going to be there next year and the year after and the year after. So
it's a one-time shop.
Go back
yeah.
to normal. There's going to be massive cuts, relatively speaking, from what the borough's seen in the past that it's going to have to go through.
Boy.
Now, and maybe it can spread it out over 2 or 3 years because it does have a fully funded general fund. It could cushion the blow. But big changes will have to be made if things don't return back to normal, you know, post-COVID. If there ever is a post, maybe it's always going to be here like the flu. I don't know.
Well, you know, what the heck? Well, you know, we start going into phase two here fairly soon, I think. The governor is going to be on the radio with me tomorrow, and I'll ask him when the phase two starts and how that starts and what that means. So, little by little, you know, God, I was running around this weekend, and everyone was running around this weekend. Did you see the traffic out on the roads on Saturday and Sunday?
Yep.
It was
I went to the transfer site on Saturday. I was shocked at how many people were out.
I'm sorry, but I don't have to go there. All my stuff is taken care of. But anyway, hey, we're coming down to our last 20 seconds. How do you want to end it, sir?
I would just say keep on keeping on. Everything's going to be okay eventually.
You got it. Aaron, Assembly Member Lajewski, thank you very much. Greatly appreciate your call. You have a great day, buddy. And Fairbanks, that is our show for today. Thank you for listening. Fun being back, and I will see you tomorrow. And we start off with the governor.
KFAR 660 AM, Fairbanks. K248 DK 97.